Jason Minidakis, you came from Atlanta, and I was looking on their website, and I found that there's a criticism of you that your plays that you were putting on were too heavy.
I'm not sure that it was a criticism so much as it was a sort of a description of the type of work that we were doing at the time. We were definitely doing darker plays at Actors Express. We were doing things like The Pillow Man, Martin McDonagh's play. We did lots of new work. We were the first company to introduce Tracy Letts to Atlanta. So Killer Joe and Bug, two of his early plays we did. So there was definitely very thought-provoking work that we were doing. It was definitely a very specific type of theater. It was a smaller theater. It was 180 seats. We had a flexible black box, so we were able to put it in any configuration we wanted to. But it was definitely an edgier type theater. We were a little bit more like doing the type of work that San Francisco Playhouse does, and also work that Berkeley Rep does. So it was a little bit of a combination of those two theaters, more so than the work that we do here at Marin Theater Company.
Well, how do you feel about that change? I mean, Marin Theater Company, in terms of what I'm looking at, reminds me a lot of theater works, only without the musicals.
That's probably true. You know, it's an evolution in my career, just like it's a, you know, an evolution when I moved from theater to theater. My first theater was actually the Cincinnati Shakespeare Festival. So my first 9 years were comprised of Shakespeare and classics and new plays that had very strong classical themes. And then I moved on to Actors Express, which focused on new work specifically, world premieres and new plays that had never been done in Atlanta before. So that the work became a little bit darker at that point, which was a really interesting shift out of the Shakespeare and the classic plays. When the board brought me on here, they were very interested in going into a little bit heavier direction in terms of the content of the material. That's why they came and found a person who had been doing the kind of heavier work that I had been doing at Actors Express. But I knew that wasn't what the total body of work was going to be here. So it's been expanding into a new type of play here for me and doing a little bit of a mixture of what I did at Actors Express and what I did at Cincinnati Shakespeare and what Marin has always done as its bread and butter. Very much focused on American plays here, new work and new plays. And we've been slowly expanding into the canon of some of the American classics. And we are slowly broadening that. We're probably going to be doing our first Shakespeare ever here very soon. It's only our second checkoff in our 44-year history that we've done. We've done Uncle Vanya once before. And I expect that sort of expansion of the type of work that we do to continue, because our mission is to do the best, most high-quality, intimate theater that we possibly can for Marin County and the Bay Area. So we focus on Marin first, and we're trying to bring experiences over here that are unique to this area.
How do you see your audience? I mean, it's, I would guess, a more wealthy audience maybe than Berkeley, and maybe an older audience?
You know, I don't know. Since I've been here, the audience has been getting much younger every year. The one thing that I know is I have an amazingly literate audience. They read everything, which is sort of exciting because it sort of opens the door to what we can do. It's very indicative, I think, of the entire Bay Area that the audiences are incredibly literate. They're incredibly knowledgeable when it comes to theater. It's amazing how many of our patrons have advanced degrees, how many of them are multiple subscribers to multiple other theaters. That's been an exciting thing to learn. The production that we did this year of In the Red and Brown Water, which was one part of the Brother Sister trilogy, where we worked with both Magic Theater and ACT, it was really exciting to see those audiences come back and forth between the different theaters and to see how hungry our audience was to go experience those other theaters. It's been something that, you know, we've been very excited to talk to our audiences and to understand how much they want to be pushed in terms of the material that we're putting on stage. So that's one of the reasons that we've been expanding and doing more world premieres and why we've been looking to kind of mix the bag up a little bit in terms of branching out into the classics and finding new interpretations of some of these plays.
It also means that you, ACT, Berkeley Rep, you're less competitors and more colleagues in the sense that there's more interplay between all of you in terms of subscribers, viewers, as well as, I guess now, with the Brother Sisters plays and what you're talking about with Chekhov in terms of the plays themselves.
I think there really is. You know, the thing that everybody's starting to realize is that it's not really competition. The more good work that's out there, the more people get hungry for better work, and the more they want to see plays that they haven't seen before, which opens up all sorts of things in terms of finding new interpretations of plays, of finding lost plays by some of the masters that folks haven't seen in a very long time or ever. you know, there are a couple of plays out there that we have realized have never been done in the Bay Area that we've got on our short list that we're hoping to be able to do in the near future. And some plays like Tiny Alice that we're doing at the end of the year haven't been done in the Bay Area since 1974. You know, it's almost been 40 years since that play's been seen. So it's exciting to come back to a play like that. You know, many of our audiences weren't around and weren't regular theater goers the last time that play was premiered. And we're hoping that that sort of community amongst the different Bay Area theaters will get people moving back and forth across the different bridges and testing and looking at new work and seeing theaters that they haven't seen before. You know, I'm very excited that we regularly get people who are in the city seeing shows at the Exit Theater and at Climate Theater and at the small theaters in town, as well as theaters over in Berkeley at Shotgun Players and some of the other theaters that are over in Berkeley, because that sort of exposure of seeing material on different levels brings a real sophistication to the way audiences watch theater. If they can watch theater at LaSalle's and then come over here and see, you know, our theater and then go to the Geary and then go to Berkeley Rep, they're getting very different experiences each time. And each environment that you're seeing a play in is giving you something different.
I wonder, with the collapse of artistry, in quotes, on Broadway, in terms of, you know, the big musicals taking over and running forever and being intended for people from Peoria and nowhere else, you know, with all of that and with these worse and worse series of tentpole movies, it seems like people are searching for better art.
I think they are, and I think people are looking for experiences that go beyond just the evening that they're at the theater. I think they want more access to the artists, and that's one of the reasons why we do Q&As with our artists and with a member of our artistic staff after every performance that we do, except on Saturdays. So if you come Tuesday through Friday or Sunday, there's going to be someone here leading a Q&A. Some of the actors may be part of that Q&A. It's something that patrons are demanding now. All of us, I think, are trying to find ways to bring more material to our website. One of the most exciting things that we've done here at Marin is that all of the dramaturgy that our actors get on the first day that tells them about the historical period, that tells them about the playwright, that tells them about the world of the play that they're in, the historical background of all their characters, we put all of that research online on our website that people can go to and actually read up on if they want to before they come see the play. Or they can go after they see the play to learn more about what they've just seen. That's the sort of expansion of access that we've tried to create for patrons so that theater becomes more than just a two-hour experience, that it really becomes something that they can prepare for, that they can go back to after they've seen the play, that hopefully gives them a richer experience and, you know, makes it more like the way movies are introduced on DVD now, where you've got all the extra features. We're trying to figure out what those extra features are for people. I think every theater is trying to figure that out.
How has the recession affected you?
You know, we've been lucky over here at Marin that we have actually been growing during this recession period. Our numbers have been going up in terms of subscriptions and single ticket sales. There was a little bump when the recession first hit. We were in the middle of a production of Frankie and Johnny and the Clair de Lune, and we had a couple of weeks that were very low. And then we rebounded very quickly, very strongly, and since then, we have actually produced 4 of the top 10 plays, all-time selling plays in our history.
What was number one?
The all-time best-selling play, single-ticket-wise, was Equivocation, Bill Kane's play that we did last year. And then it was actually the second best overall-selling show between subscriptions and single tickets.
Most of the other theater companies I've spoken with, okay, there are discounts for people under 30 trying to bring in a younger audience. Mm-hmm. Are there volunteers you can get in for free if you volunteer to take tickets or something?
Absolutely. We have all sorts of different programs for folks. We have our volunteer program where if you volunteer to be an usher, you get to see the play that night for free. We also have another program, which is our rush ticket policy. If you are willing to wait and not be quite picky about where you're sitting at half hour, any tickets that are still left can be purchased for a substantial discount.
What is your school tour, Tall Tales? What's that?
Well, we have programs that we take plays into the schools, and we're specifically working with elementary schools this year with a tour by our playwright in residence from last year, Steve Yockey, and it is a mashup of American Tall Tales. It's a lot of American folk stories that are all crammed down into a play that also takes a look at bullying, what happens between kids, and it uses American Tall Tales to sort of teach a lesson about bullying. So it's a really great school tour. Audiences really loved the play that we did last year, which was actually an Aesop's Fables mashup. It was teaching the kids about the Aesop Fables and also teaching them about teamwork at the exact same time.
Jason Minidakis, ACT, Berkeley Rep, and TheaterWorks have this vision of taking stuff and sending it to Broadway. Is that something down the road you're looking at for MTC or not?
Well, right now we have the Sky Cooper New American Play Prize, and what that does is that gives a $10,000 prize plus a world premiere to the script that ends up winning a brand new American script that we find through our submission process. Those plays have been going on to productions all over the country, not New York yet, but that isn't really the target of what we're doing. There are plenty of theaters that are sending material straight to New York. We're working with what I guess you would call more emerging artists at this point. And what we're hoping to do is working through the National New Play Network, of which we're a member. We're trying to get the playwrights that we work with working in other cities as well. New York is not really the target for the work that we're doing right now because these plays are still in development. Our work has been moving on from here to other cities, such as when we did Sunlight. That play ended up getting subsequent productions in four other cities within a one-year period. This year, we did the world premiere of Nine Circles, Bill Kane's brand new play, and that play is going on to three productions next season in cities around the country. So it's a very exciting time for us, but our plays aren't getting quite the notoriety that those other companies are because it's not quite New York yet. But that's not our mission either. We're creating work specifically for Marin County and the North Bay and the entire Bay Area. The artists that we use tend to be local, and that's the work that we're focused on doing.
Do you do the casting from Bay Area, or do you go to New York?
We do primarily Bay Area, but we also do a lot of casting out of Chicago and New York and L.A. when we need to. It tends to be a couple of artists a year come from out of town, but that's partly because we like supporting the local acting crop. We've got an amazing pool of actors here in the Bay Area, and it's important to us that we're creating work for those artists so that they can make this their home.
Last year you did Woody Guthrie, which is kind of, it's a musical, but not the standard. Do you see yourself doing musicals, or is that something for other people?
It's something that we do every couple of years. Our theater isn't designed to be doing a lot of musicals. Most of the musicals that we do, we have to figure out how to have the band incorporated onto the stage because we don't have a pit. But that's something that we're looking to do different types of musicals as we progress. We're always looking for chamber musicals and more intimate musicals to do here. So the traditional American canon isn't really something that fits on our stage very well. Nine actors and then a band on top of that is huge for us. Seagull is the largest play we've done since I've been here, and that's 13 characters.
Well, you had a big cast for in the Red and Brown Water, didn't you?
That was only nine, though. You know, for us, getting up to those 9, 10, 11, 12 character shows, that's a big show. So, you know, that's one of the reasons why looking at plays by Shakespeare, it's figuring out how to make it fit into our space and how to make it fit into our budget size so that it doesn't completely dominate the season and everything else has to be really small. So it's a balancing act for us, but it's something that we're expanding because our audiences have definitely been telling us that they like bigger cast shows, and it's something that we feel good about doing here. So that's a direction that we're definitely heading in with our programming.
What about bringing in other groups from different areas like Berkeley Rep and ACT sometimes does?
It's not something that we do. You know, a lot of theaters are looking to supplement the programming that they do by bringing in shows. We believe that we create our own art here. So it's something that works for other theaters, but it's not something that we do here in terms of bringing shows in from outside.
Jason Minidakis, have you thought about film?
I haven't really. It's not a medium that I'm real familiar with. It's not something that I've been really hungry to explore. So it's just not something that's been on my radar.
Have you started working on next season then?
We are almost finished with putting next season together. We have one play that we're looking to put into place.
And the next play coming up for Marin Theater Company is Fuddy Mears?
It is a play by David Lindsay-Abaire. Very, very funny play. It is a zany ride, and I think people will be very excited to see that play.
And after that comes Tiny Alice. In terms of what you're most proud of over the last 2 years, what do you think the play is?
We're in tech right now. We have our first preview audience in a couple of days. So, you know, at the immediate moment, it's Seagull. But if you said, you know, outside of Seagull, what would it be? It would probably have to be the world premiere of Nine Circles that we did with James Carpenter and Jennifer Erdman and Craig Marker. It was just an amazing process to give birth to that play for the first time. And our director, Kent Nicholson, who used to work at TheaterWorks, and Bill were here And it was just an amazing process to see that play get born for the very first time. And for it to be such an important American play, it's already been nominated for the prestigious Steinberg Award, which is very exciting. And we certainly hope that the play wins, because if it does, Bill will be the first playwright to have won that award 2 years in a row, because he won last year for Equivocation. And it's very rare for a theater to get nominated. So I would have to say Nine Circles at this point, I guess.
Jason Minidakis, who's the artistic director of Marin Theater Company. Seagull by Anton Chekhov plays through February 20th. And then Fuddy Mears opens March 31st. And I guess Tiny Alice is in June.
Tiny Alice will be opening on the 2nd of June and running for the whole month.
I'm Richard Walensky on Open Book.